Hi everyone, welcome to the very second episode of Empowered Women, and we have Yoselyn Bagalo with us today.
So I'm so thrilled to be on this series, and I was thrilled when you asked and just to be in the presence of other fantastic empowered women like yourself. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Yoselyn, for being here. And we know you as a, I know you as a great career advisor. Yoselyn is amazing. She is one of the strongest proponents of diversity. She is currently director of admissions for MBA at NYU. So she's someone you should know. She has worked with many universities like NYU, Brandeis. She has also worked with consulting firm like Ernst & Young. You know what that means? That means that she not only has helped career development side of employment seekers, but she has also worked from the side of employers. So she knows both the sides well. And additionally, she has also been an entrepreneur. So today I feel really lucky that we have someone like Yoselyn to give us well-rounded perspective on the topic that we are going to talk about today, which is value of women's career. So why don't we just flip the tables on you today and ask you, what is the best career decision that you have ever made and why?
On the topic of career advice, I think there's so much advice that I've gotten throughout my career. And there's one in particular that stood out to me when I was very new. I had gone to a panel of, I think, four or five women who were in finance and were at the top of their game. And one of them said something in that if you're planning to have a partner, choosing that partner is one of the most important career decisions that you can make. At that time, I was single. I didn't have a family. And I kind of, you know, sort of scrunched up my face and said, I'm not entirely sure why that's my biggest career decision. Fast forward now a number of years where I'm further along in my career. I have two children. I also have a spouse, and I understand that more completely. I really think that in order for anyone to really have a great career, you do need to have a support system. And frankly, for women, if you are planning on having a family, that does come down to who you sort of choose to be in the trenches with. And I would say, you know, not just if you're going to have a family, but certainly if you're going to sort of partner with someone for the long term, you want someone that's to this effect that's going to be in the trenches with you, because there will be times when you've got multiple demands on your career, but also multiple demands on your personal life. And unfortunately, I don't think that the working world necessarily knows how to incorporate those two in the same way that, say, you know, men sort of have this blurred line between their work life and their home life. You don't really hear them talking about this balance. It's really a very gender term of this work-life balance, because we are the ones that are balancing that life at home, right? So when I was married and in my early career, make sure that my partner also understood the value of pitching in when I needed it. I've had to put a lot of boundaries in place to make that happen. And that has really allowed my career to take off, because I can raise my hand for those really intensive projects. And I sort of feel like I have the bandwidth to take more on in my career. And so I reflect on that statement a lot, that many of your, you know, career choices are really going to be defined by your partner in that capacity.
That is so true. And like we are so trained to look at our lives in buckets, like professional bucket, personal bucket, but we don't really live in buckets. What happens in our personal life, our support system, reflects on our career. And you also talked about boundaries, that you have been able to create certain boundaries at home. That made me think about boundaries at work. We tell women that learn to say no. What if we are just saying no way too many times? Won't that like take away opportunities away from us? What do you think about that?
Gosh, if you had asked me that question 10 years ago versus where I am now, it'd be two completely different answers. Just, you know, I think there is a certain process that you sort of have to go through. When I was younger in my career, I raised my hand for everything. I definitely felt like I had more time to sort of put in the work, to log in the hours, to build my reputation. And I had a mentor who would joke around with me that I had like hot air balloon syndrome, because my hand was going always up for things. And, you know, she gave me a really valuable piece of advice, which is curate your career. So look ahead to where you might want to be. And she said, you know, don't just pick like, I want to be in this function in this industry, but give yourself a couple of options. And then using that template for the skills that are there, reflect on your own career to say, I need this skill set, or I need to build that skill set. And look at opportunities through that lens, as terms of, you know, what am I going to get from this? How am I going to grow? How am I going to build my skill set? So once I started looking it through that lens, I realized that I was raising my hand for a lot of the same opportunities and not really growing, stretching, challenging myself, which, by the way, is scary. So the whole support system comes in when you, you know, go home and you're like, I don't think I can do this. It comes and tells you, you can, and you will, and it'll be tough, but you'll be fine. And so I think learning how to say no in that capacity can be really helpful when you say, I'm going to curate these opportunities. So I learned how to say no, and, which was, you know, can you be involved in this? And I'm saying, no. And there's someone else that might be really great for this role. No. And instead of being the person that was just a hard stop, I kind of learned how to be the person that was the connector to somebody else's development. When I have said yes to things, it's because either it builds a skill for me that I wasn't, you know, that wouldn't be able to build organically, or that it was going to scare me a little bit. The most recent one is that here at NYU Stern, I had the opportunity to the operations team. And I have been on marketing all of my life, marketing and consulting. So operations was a very new field to me. And I said yes. And I went home and I sat across from my partner and I said, do they know that I don't know anything about operations? Are they aware that, and you know, and my husband's like, yeah, I think so. They've kind of been working with you for a while, so they understand. And so taking that leap was very scary, but at the same time, it was yes to an opportunity that I knew would build a section of my portfolio, of my career that I hadn't built out previously. So of course it was going to be scary. Of course I was going to be, but then, you know, you sort of call on your support systems, like we talked about before. And so as often as I've had said no in my career, I've also said yes. And try to say yes out of a place of anticipation and out of a place of growth instead of a place of fear. You know, I think that has been tremendously helpful. And when I look at that opportunity, it's those opportunities have always led to greater things. So I think it's okay to challenge yourself with the things that look scary, but also if you don't think that that project is going to add anything, if you've done already 3 or 4 projects that are very similar, I think it's okay to say no and tap other people on the shoulder and help them grow too.
Which is what we are doing. Empowered women need to empower other women.
Absolutely. And we know from research that a job qualification with 10 particular requirements, men apply when they've hit 3 of those requirements, women apply when they've hit 7. And so that always sticks with me in the back of my mind in terms of, am I taking enough of what would essentially be a risk in my career, a risk in terms of I'm actually walking into this with less knowledge than possibly somebody else would have, right? But there's something that I'm bringing to the table. There's learning curves that happen. So I tend to kind of take that mindset of saying, I just need to surround myself with people who know what they're doing, that I think it's a quote, but I might be wrong, that you just have to surround yourself with the smartest people that you possibly can, and build your strength from there.
Yeah. If you are the smartest person in the room, you are in the wrong room.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely right.
I want to ask you one more thing that, you know, I always wonder about. We know that, you know, women's career is as valuable as men, but usually women's career get the second priority. Like, can you put into perspective like how big that problem is and what could be its impact?
Yeah, so I think I really saw this process happen when I had just had my first daughter. And for me, I had chosen to go back to work and noticed again that, you know, you sort of come out of maternity where you are the one that's taking care of a child 24/7. And unless you have some tough conversations and put in some boundaries, you end up also doing the bulk of the child care and the house care when you go back to work. It's that, you know, commonly referred to as a second shift. And that was a lot of the conversation of my career being just as valuable as his, despite the fact that we might have a financial differential. But the things that I do in my career are really valuable for me and who I am as a person. And frankly, they make me a better mother, they make me a better partner. And so creating that value for me was incredibly important to say, I need you to pitch in with me on these things because I value your career intrinsically, right? We're sort of taught that men's careers have intrinsic value, even if they're not, you know, bringing in six figures, seven figures, their career still has value and we have to create the working world around them. And so internally in our house, it was a lot of movement to say, we're going to try to break some of these patterns and make sure that both of our careers come first. The flip side of that is that my husband, I wouldn't want to speak for him, but I think from what I've seen, he is now more engaged with the kids because he's also frankly had to take some of that on, right? And he didn't have that opening before because that wasn't the way that our partnership was set up. So in some ways, making my career more valuable has also given him the opportunity to make himself a stronger and more involved parent. And so setting these habits early on is only going to benefit us long term.
Like, I was going to ask you, because valuing your career, it's not just important at home, it's also important at work. Because
from what I've seen in my experience, when I walk into a new job, flexibility is one of the first things that I talk about. I think it's a larger question around talent management or creating the opportunity for people to put what is important first.
Thank you for talking about both sides. Thank you for talking about how to deal with it at home and how to create that expectation and flexibility at work as well. And like you said, there are few lucky ones who have organizations that they work with who have already understood that and give that flexibility. For others, we can say that look for organizations like that. And if you don't find organizations like that, then be strategic, be flexible at the same time, and keep on having those conversations. So I wanted to, this is my last question to you, and then I'll let you go, which is, what was the biggest obstacle in your process when you were trying to make others value your career at home and at work?
I think the first thing was that I had to realize that I could let things go. I had to realize that I didn't have to be super mom. That was huge. You know, I couldn't ask for to get things done that needed to get done until I told myself that I didn't need to do them. And so when I was able to say, it doesn't need to be me and I'm going to be okay if it's not me, then I was able to say, okay, where can I find a place for these things? And so that was, internally, that was a huge obstacle. And I think the other obstacle, again, that I experienced was asking for what I needed point blank. And 9 times out of 10, when I asked for it, I got it. So asking for what you need, the huge different game for you, right? To be able to say, like, I want to give you the best that a best part of me that I can get you. Here are the things that I need from you. And so I have the conversation with my team. I have that conversation with them too. Again, it's like this whole conversation is about boundaries, right? Like, here are the things that I need to be successful. What do you need to be successful?
I think the bottom line of everything that you are saying and what I have heard, first of all, I adore you and respect you like 10 times more than what I did half an hour back, because I know so many things about how you think and how you do things, and I absolutely respect you for that. And I learned a lot. So what I'm hearing is, don't let fear drive your decisions. Don't let societal pressure tell you what is the right way of doing. And most importantly, learn to let go. Yeah. And obviously, you know, the things that we hear about most of the time, which still stand, which is, talk about it. Like, have conversation. If you think you don't want to do things in certain way, ask for help. Tell people that you can't do it. And like you said, 9 out of 10 times, people will help you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And believe that you are worth the conversation. Believe that you are worth getting what you need. Any yeah. manager worth their weight is going to make sure you have what you need to be successful.
Right. Mm-hmm. If we don't believe in our story, no one else is going to.
Might as well just make their jobs easier and ask for it.
Thank you so much, Yoslyn. I am so thankful for your time, and I'm sure everyone who will listen to this will be. And for everyone else, if you have any more questions for Yoslyn, feel free to put those in comments, or if you would like to ask some questions offline, let me know. Yeah, I can connect you with Yoslyn if she wants to talk to you. If she's a busy woman, but loves helping. She's a busy woman who loves helping people. So thank you, Yoslyn. I hope to have you back soon, because this conversation gave have so many other questions, raised so many other questions in my head, and I would love to ask you those questions, but we can't talk for 3 hours at a straight stretch. So let's chop it in smaller pieces, and I'll talk to you, say, soon in the next 1 or 2 months.
That sounds lovely. I look forward to it.